My friends, the Bible says there is a time to live and a time to die. Time. It passeth away, is indelibly stamped upon everything in this world. What we love and what we possess in this world, regardless of how dearly cherished, must have the fragile label, it passeth away. The Bible says, the fashion of this world passeth away, 1 Corinthians 7:31. Even the afflictions of life, which may sometimes seem endless, are but for a moment, the apostle declared. Where are those who once possessed the land you now own for a limited time? The houses in which you now live? The chambers in which you may sleep tonight? Where are the kings and governors who once occupied the palace courts and halls of justice? Where? They have passed away. And you can be sure we are following even perhaps closer than we might expect. We are all going somewhere and going there very fast. Everything is changing. Indeed, time changes things. Take a look at the family album of pictures, your picture of yesterday. The time of the day, where are the hours and the minutes? Think about it. Even since I've been talking to you on this broadcast, several moments of time are forever gone, never, never to return. Think of the seasons, these very songs you have heard, the sermons you have heard, the prayers, these lifetime opportunities. They're all fleeting, passing away. The Bible says, our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and man that is born of woman is of few days. And again, what is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4, verse 14. The vapor may appear, clearly visible one moment, but with the flash of sun rays the next moment it is gone. Also, he fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. And behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my years are as nothing before me. We may look upon the everlasting hills of grandeur and beauty, but they too shall someday vanish away. Let no man build his life upon anything that can perish the foundation of his hope of life in eternity. The Bible said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And again, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A time to die. What an exclamation for eternity! And it is only one time. Death is a one-time experience, a reality that no one can deny. We experience death in our land every day, yet so often we are inclined to want to put death away from us for some future time. One time only is the only time. One may be a failure in business. He may try again and again. But my friends, a failure of the business of being a Christian when time to die is an irrevocable failure for all time and eternity. There will be no second chance. Perhaps it would be well for us to think about advancing forward for a little while in life, in our vision and apprehension, and see and recognize time and death as they really are. How would it be to step out into the future among the death scenes of the day? Who would it be? Could it possibly be you or me? My friends, don't you know that it will be sooner or later? All the experiences of this one-time call for others is just as certain to be ours as night follows day. Time will bring everything in its place and will bring every living soul to a place. The end for the beginning, the end in death, but the beginning for timeless eternity. Do we really accept a time to die? Is it not true that so many people think of death as being only for the other person? Surely it is not my time to die. For me, that is some far-off distant future, is the thinking of millions, no doubt. But what a delusion. No man knows how far out is the stake of the boundary of his earthly time. How vainly man gambles with time and the destiny of his soul. Whether the next step will be on earth, in heaven, or in hell. Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Man will take time to die, whether prepared or unprepared. That is a tie that binds in time. Even when we accept the fact that there must be a time to die, most people have an unconquerable aversion to death. Riches cannot remove it. Poverty cannot destroy it. Reason cannot supplant it. Even the hope and anticipation of heaven cannot completely reconcile us to death as death. There are always some ties that bind us to life. Many of them are strong and seemingly inseparable. Sometimes we think cannot be broken, but they will be broken in time. The beautiful ties of love, companionship, and fellowship. We may seem to want to last forever, but all such ties that bind will last only for a time. You know, the great Apostle Paul grappled with this heart-penetrating principle of life and this matter of tie that binds. He wrote the early fellow Christians in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, and said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if to live in the flesh, if this shall bring fruit from my work, then what shall I choose? I know not. But I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is far better. Yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake." Sometimes earthly ties, houses, lands, fortunes, and fame are ties that are glued closer than affections of hearts, one toward another and toward God. In this life, even the wicked and covetous mortals may boast of prosperity and physical comfort, but the ties will be broken. Death will remove all of them, and then nothing but despair and hopelessness. The treasures of this earth will fade into less than nothingness, in contrast to the treasures of heaven. No wonder our Lord admonished, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also." Matthew 6, 19-21. The tie that binds hearts with heaven is a tie that will not be broken, but will last for all time and eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the matter of life and death, we must understand that life is a most precious gift from God. Not one breath without God's permission. The infant sleeping in its cradle or on its mother's breast breathes the breath of life involuntarily. Its breath is in God's hands. Oh, how we cherish life, to hold on to it. Even in time of lingering death, fortunes sometimes are spent just to prolong life as long as possible. Yes, I want to live. You want to live, even just for a little while longer. How long? What for? How long is not nearly as important as what for. I would presume that most people of maturity think of preparing for and expecting a long life. How often do we read the obituary column of the newspaper and observe the ages of the deceased, looking for the oldest, perhaps, and wondering if we may attain that age? Ladies and gentlemen, in this life, time is insignificant compared to preparation for time eternal. Christ Jesus our Lord had only 33 years. Such a short time. But what monuments of time and eternity. 33 years of age and only 3 years of personal ministry. But time to finish his work and then go home back to his Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. I'm thankful that God has been so good and kind, so gracious, as to grant me 40 years of radio ministry, which I've just completed. The privilege of telling the gospel story to millions and baptizing thousands into Christ is a vital part of my life. But how long yet? I know not. One thing I do know, there is somewhere, sometime just ahead, the border of the grave and the margin of eternity that awaits the termination of time for me, just as it does for every man who walks the face of God's good earth. Death cannot be the end, it is the beginning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. The grave, more than the cradle, will mark the commencement day, the beginning of the endless day of eternity. Death is the graduation exercise for the child of God. The great apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Henceforth, that is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. What a great accomplishment. Death and age. What about our reckoning of time? When another wrinkle is on your cheek, thank God. When your hair has turned to silver, thank God. When you feel the infirmities of added years, and maybe your body is stooped and bent, and perhaps you need a kindly hand to help you climb the steps across the street, thank God. When your footsteps move slowly and uncertainly, and you no longer hear the laughter of joy, nor the voice of friends and loved ones, thank God. Thank God because moving day is coming. You can move out of the old tabernacle of clay that is worn and falling apart and move into a beautiful mansion prepared by our Lord and live forever in a new immortal terrestrial body which shall never decay. What a great thought. The life of a Christian brings heaven nearer each day. Life is a voyage. The port will soon be in sight. Life is a journey. The last mile of the way is not far away. Life is a race. The crown of victory may soon be won. A startling, sobering thought. Soon our work will be done. Time to go home. Our business will soon be left behind. Our homes, our cares, and every temporal thing in life will be left forever. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the springtime, summertime, and winter, the heavals and upheavals of the earth. Yes, everything attached to this world we shall soon be leaving. But what an amazing, joyful thought. If we are Christians, we shall soon be in heaven. Heaven is so near for the saints of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? While the storms of life may beat against a weary soul, and the clouds may hover low, causing rivers of tears, just remember the beauties and the promises of the rainbow, which were formed by the weeping clouds as an expression of God's love and remembrance. The Christian's life is a rainbow of love. Our faith may be strengthened and love increased by the adversities of life. When we look at the beauties of the rainbow, you know, the Bible says that is a rainbow in heaven, with all of its majestic beauty round about the throne like an emerald to look upon. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 3. God intends death to be not an unbearable experience of life, but a blessed and precious experience for His children. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, declared David in Psalms 116:15. Beloved, that is no difference comparable to the difference between life and death. And I speak of the life eternal with God in heaven, and in contrast to the second death, which is eternal separation from God. Death has no special delivery death message at all. It may be as sudden as the strike of lightning. The Bible says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth," Proverbs 27:1, and "For a man also knoweth not his time," Ecclesiastes 9:12, and "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is come," said our Lord.